Previously on Tendril.
You might have heard news of the recent Kronket invasion and the establishment of a for-profit zoo on the uncivilized planet called Meklamar. The Commonwealth has already charged the Kronket Empire with an obscene number of war crimes. You are under direct orders to not start a revolution. A phantasmal presence appeared and transformed a zookeeper into a hulking monster. If you can solve the problem in 24 hours, I will personally fund a trip for you to go to a real zoo.
Really?
As agents of the Meklamartian Rebellion, you are, under no circumstances, allowed to plot, scheme, collude, or conspire.
I was kind of hoping we could go on the Jungle River Adventure boat ride.
In fact, the Kronket put this zoo up for sale, and I'm here to represent PPP in our purchasing of it.
Good afternoon, travelers. My name is Beluto, and I will be your Jungle Cruise Meklamar sightseeing ambassador, so please keep your arms and legs inside the boat at all times, because any legal settlement you might have to make with the Kronket Empire will impact me directly.
An enormous head peeks out through the waterfall itself. A tree-bark tribal mask made of wood and painted with swirling white designs. Then, the rest of the creature pulls itself. It raises an enormous hand-carved staff, and a furious buzzing emanates from the bushes nearby. This is Tendril, the Banshee Chronicles. Episode 5. Occupational Hazards. Written by Caitlin Radel and Ryan Borsis. The enormous robed figure stands roughly knee-deep in the river reservoir, waterfall roaring behind them, the mist rising off of the water creating an ethereal glow as they raise an enormous wooden staff, which glows and pulses, filling the air with a bizarre, tense electricity. An angry buzzing emanates from the bushes nearby. Beluto, the blue captain at the bow of the tourist-laden boat, wrings his four hands nervously.
Ladies and gentle life forms, it sounds like we're about to witness a rare and deadly sight. The native whisper wasps have awoken from hibernation early.
Do you not see the giant, the warlock?
How deadly are they?
Fairly deadly. Oh my God. They are a carnivorous species that typically sleeps through the dry season.
Oh.
They eat anything that breathes.
Oh.
They target their prey with an incredible sense of hearing and zero in ruthlessly to the sound of heartbeats, which is said to drive them crazy. So they use a uniquely paralyzing venom.
Okay! That's enough of that, Blue Toes!
I have a name tag.
The warlock is causing the whisper wasps to wake up.
If we can stop him, maybe they'll go back to sleep.
Bluto, I'm going to need to commandeer this ship.
My employee contract states pretty explicitly that nobody else is supposed to touch these controls.
People are going to die.
And I could lose my job.
What can we do to convince you?
Well, if you were to fill out a really positive survey for my shift supervisor...
Done! Now move over!
Switch elbows Beluto aside to take up the helm of the boat. He stumbles forward and is caught in the tentacles of Cronist.
I'm just gonna deposit you here.
Justice Switch puts her hands on the steering wheel. The whisper wasps descend on the boat, whirling angrily around the tourists and undercover government agents alike.
There's got to be something we can use to protect ourselves.
Oh, I have a tarp in the storage bench here.
The tarp is removed and several hands work together to wrangle it between the passengers and the wasps, creating a sort of makeshift tent. The edges are pulled down to the deck of the boat, but the wasps are seemingly tossing their bodies against the tarp in an effort to break through.
Cronist, can you find a way to distract the wasps?
Right. You said they have a good sense of hearing?
They hate the sounds of heartbeats.
Good thing I've got three hearts.
Do you really think that will be loud enough to draw them away? There are like 8 other organic people on this boat. That's at least 5 more heartbeats.
Do you have another suggestion?
I mean, banging pots and pans together would probably do a better trick.
Unless you've got a heart-specific speaker system, Cade, I suggest you back off.
Can you two cool it on the lovelorn bickering?
Fish, don't you have, a waterproof speaker system so we can hear you talk?
Thanks. And I don't see how my assistance is relevant.
Do you want to die?
I hardly think those whisper wasps are going to get me through half an inch of glass.
Actually, whisper wasp stingers are 4 inches long and stronger than reinforced steel. They can breathe in water and are known to eat fish as dessert.
Are you kidding me?
Fix, you heard the man. You'll die too. All I need is your speaker system.
Oh, yeah. Fine. But if it comes back even a little scratched, he'll be
sued for so many things. Yes, yes, I know. Come on.
As Vex's robot arms reach inside her metal torso to disassemble her internal speaker system, the whisper wasps only grow in anger and intensity. A few guests scream as the wasps poke their truly terrifying stingers through the tarp in an effort to get to the tasty organisms below. Kate is fiddling with the wires of the speaker system, pulling a few little metal bits out of his pockets, and finally hands Cronus a wiry contraption.
Here, attach this to your chest. It'll amplify your heartbeats. Beatses.
Are you sure?
We don't have time to waste, Cronus. Get the whisper wasps away from here.
Cronus slides out from beneath the tarp, diving into the river, and propels himself away. He clambers out of the water onto the far riverbank, Hawaiian shirt dripping wet, and tentacles curling with hydration. He attaches the speaker system to his chest and presses the on button. The whisper wasps veer away from the boat and towards Cronus, who stands waiting with his sickle on a chain, hoping that he's accurate enough to strike down a cloud of insects with only a few swings. Thankfully, he doesn't have to. With the wasps distracted, Switch is able to speed the boat directly towards the warlock, firing shots off from her blaster. Bullets whack into the warlock's mask with dull thuds. The monster screams, reeling back in surprise and pain. Its staff stops glowing, the magic disrupted. The static electricity in the air dissipates. The whisper wasps swarm around Cronus for a moment before sleepily slowing down and settling back down into the bushes around him, ready to hibernate until the true end of their sleeping season.
Well, that was anticlimactic.
The climax, however, has not yet been reached. The warlock, as if noticing for the first time, sweeps a massive hand down and picks up Cade.
Hey, not cool!
Not on my watch.
Just as the warlock's hand is almost out of reach, Switch jumps and clambers on, allowing the warlock to bring the two of them up to its face for inspection. Then she cocks her pistol and... two shots directly into the eyes of the giant's mask. The warlock shrieks, dropping Cade and Switch. The behemoth wizard turns heel and runs with sloshing, girthy steps to the edge of the waterfall and leaps without hesitation off into the blue. Even for such a creature, at this height, death is certain. And yet, with a thunderous rush of air, the warlock returns on the back of a colossal lizard bird, summoned by another jinx from that arcane staff. The two quickly become specks in the distance. Switch pulls Cade back over to the boat, swinging him onto the deck, clambering up behind him. Then she advances on Belluto.
What was that thing?
I'm only authorized to acknowledge facts about the life native to Meklamar. Nothing else.
So you've never seen it before?
No, I swear. Please put the gun down.
Oh, God, I'm not...
Switch holsters the gun.
I'm not threatening you.
We just want to know if that giant wizard thing has ever been seen before, if there were any rumors about
it. I don't know anything about the thing. All I know is that if my boss found out about any of this, about the boat driving and you disturbing the whisper wasps and the guy literally jumping overboard, I'm toast! You guys broke literally every rule!
Cronus uses his suction cups to gain enough traction and climb back on board, handing the speaker system contraption to Vex, who snatches it away and angrily bubbles in her fishbowl.
We did what we had to defuse the situation.
Look, man, I've got a pet slime to support. I don't care about your vigilante zoo scheme. For all I know, you staged this.
We promised we'd fill out a survey for you. Isn't that enough?
Belluto gives a sharp, three-handed gesture at the other guests on the boat.
You're not the only people involved here! How do I know they won't complain about this life-threatening mishap that only I will get the blame for?
Let's tell the general guy.
What?
I mean, there's that general, right? In charge of the zoo? Let's go to him and explain the situation. That blue guy did nothing. We can even ask him to give the guy a pay raise. Is that a good enough compromise?
That's actually a great idea.
I am competent sometimes, Cronus.
I beg to differ.
Yeah, you know what? I'll take that. Tell General Vool that I was the best boat driver you've ever seen and had nothing to do with the incident today. That will more than make it up.
Then I cede the boat controls back to you, Captain.
Beluto takes up the helm of the riverboat once more, and they putter along back to the start of the ride. The zoo, now that it's a little later in the morning, is bustling with life and buzzing tourists. Children crowd around enclosures of strangely shaped, multicolored creatures, equally entranced parrots standing around with hands full of the unique Mechlemartian cuisine, food wrappers proudly proclaiming that the contents are local, organic, and fresh. The Banshee crew members consult a map and locate the administrative offices, which are clear on the other side of the zoo.
At least it's a scenic route.
Really, there's no rush when you think about it. According to the schedule, it looks like we'll be intercepted by the late morning General Vool Appreciation Parade.
You sound way too excited about that.
I'm trying to enjoy what I can. Plus, he might be in the parade. If that's the case, we might not even be able to talk to him until afterward.
Well, there is a rush. We have 24 hours to get this locked down, remember? If we're going to talk to this General Vool to promote Beluto or whatever, we should see what information we can get from him while we're there.
Well, he's in charge of the place, right? As long as we don't let on that we're with the Commonwealth, he's probably the best guy for info.
Yeah, maybe taking the frightened but relieved tourist route will get him to drop some information about the warlock that we can't get elsewhere. I'm sure all this press attention has got him in over his head about it.
They continue along the path, Cronist taking great effort to keep Switch from sightseeing, until they finally come to a roped-off path. Few people are milling around it.
This must be the start of the parade.
Switch leads them up to the rope, hoping to get a good view. They're standing next to a Triblamirin made almost entirely of plant matter. Vines twisted to form limbs, red and white mottled flowers framing his forehead. He gives the Banshee crew a lazy grin.
You dudes look like the types to be in the market for some magic dust.
I never thought it would happen to me. Just say no, guys.
I don't think magic dust works on synthetics.
No, it's not like that, man. The dust isn't drugs. It's like literal magic dust.
He procures a handful of navy velvet bags from a vine pocket and opens one to reveal a sparkly powder that smells faintly of licorice.
Still looks like drugs to me.
This sounds like a scam.
Take it easy, you guys. Look, let's start from the beginning. My name's Hulu DeCannon.
Any relation to a Roku?
Oh, groovy. You guys know Roku? She's my sister. I haven't seen her in like a year. Where's that hippie been?
Actually, we ran into her on Zingar X.
That's my Roku. Always a daredevil. Wait, but I heard about some pretty hairy meteor deal there a couple weeks ago. Did she make it out okay?
Hulu,
she's doing great. She actually helped us quite a bit. It got a little scary there with the whole big slime monster, but what do you know? Roku is alive and well.
Oh. That is so good to hear. That one's notoriously difficult to get in touch with, so I'm glad to hear she's doing well.
Kate!
Trust me on this one. So, tell us more about this magic dust of yours that is definitely not a drug.
Yeah, well, I heard some rumors from the news, you know, like Galactic Observer. There were some paranormal things going on here. So here's how the dust works. You see a monster? Bummer. But you throw the magic dust in its face, speak the incantation, and poof! It calms it down and reverses any magical enchantments.
Wait, this is a real product? What's it made of?
Some dried dame's thistle, ash-leafed gillicress, whirled any trailing sneeze we eat, and hemp.
Confirming, Captain. that these are all Triblomirin plants with known medicinal properties. Well, except for the hemp.
How much is it?
Really?
It might be helpful. You never know when an unusual solution could also be the correct one.
Dude, right on. It's 1,000 credits a bag, direct transfer. Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it. 100% of the proceeds go to the Hulu Dekenan Spiritual Journey Charity.
A charity for yourself?
They say you must love yourself before you can love others. You dig?
Not frequently.
I'll take 3. That's 1 for each of us. It might come in handy.
I can't believe you just bought us space drugs.
Thanks, man. Mel, I'd love to stick around and chat, but I've got other people to sell magic dust to.
I feel a little dirty.
Hulu goes to hassle the next group of tourists, while Cronist hands 1 bag of dust each to his crewmates. The parade music starts up, and colorful floats pass by.
Any particular reason you chose not to tell Hulu about his dead sister?
I have a sister. We don't talk much, but... And he seems so happy, just like stupidly selling his magic dust, meeting someone who had also met her. I didn't want us to ruin his day.
That's surprisingly empathetic of you, Kate. But sometimes we have to take the tough decision and tell people the bad news.
Yeah, but today?
Switch is eagerly leaning up against the rope, her glowing eyes taking in every float and dancer in the parade's lineup.
Let's just take the warm fuzzies where we can get them, you know?
Cronist adjusts his shirt, looking down at Cade appraisingly.
Yeah.
They watch the rest of the parade in near silence, Switch occasionally pointing out a float she likes. The parade can be described as Oppression the Processional. The Kronkhet clearly take their dominion of the planet very seriously, because each float is a facsimile of an apparent scene from the recent invasion. Brightly colored, animatronic Kronkhet bash the heads of Mechlamartians with the butts of rifles and comically large hammers. Dancers dressed as Kronkhet and Mechlamartians march and play out mock battles in which the Mechlamartians always lose, having to lay on the ground to be trampled or carry the Kronkhet dancers on their shoulders. Most of the floats have internal speakers that blast grating music, but one float is completely silent. The animatronic Mechlamartians perched on it with enormous metal contraptions on their jaws.
I love those jaw things on the Mechlamartians.
They look neat. What are they for?
It's said that the Mechlamartians chirp so loudly and so persistently that they can blow out your eardrums. The jaws of silence, as they're called, keep them quiet.
Cool.
Ew.
At the very end of the procession, the Kronkhet General Vool sits in sluggish smugness atop a muscly military jeep, flanked by rifle throwers in camouflage uniforms. He lifts his jiggly, puke-yellow arm and utilizes a princess wave, his mouth stretched into a flat grin with rotten, crooked teeth, beaming at the zoo-goers below, bellowing over and over,
"Bow to the Kronkhet Empire! Hurrah! Bow to the Kronkhet Empire!"
That is a guy I don't like if I've ever seen one.
Probably the worst possible ending to an awesome, but notably disturbing parade.
Awesome? After the real zoo, we've got to get you to the Disney planet.
How is that relevant?
They say the nighttime parade goes around the whole equator.
Looks like they're packing up the parade. Let's get to Vool's office.
The Banshee crew follows the last stretch of the parade until it disappears between a couple of behind-the-scenes doors. They continue along the path until they reach the administrative office building, an unmarked, taupe rectangle hidden behind some dense jungle flora. Once inside, they're surprised to find that it's practically empty, except for a receptionist. Cronus leads the crew up to the desk.
We're here to talk to General Vool.
Do you have an appointment?
The crew glances at each other.
I'm Vixen Longarmed, lawyer from PPP. These are my paralegals. I'm here to talk to General Vowell about the purchase of the zoo. I'm early and very important, and I don't like having my time wasted.
The receptionist stares at Cade. Cade stares back. He squints his eyes. She shrugs.
Okay. General Vool, the rep from Procyon Planetary Properties, is here to see you. Go on up. You can use the elevator back there.
The Banshee crew piles into the elevator, pressing the button clearly labeled General Vool's office. It's a big label. They wait for the elevator doors to slide shut. Then...
I can't believe that worked.
I know, right?
That was the wildest thing I've witnessed all week.
I thought for a second she was going to call security on us.
Okay, newbie. Maybe you've got more spunk than I gave you credit for.
Thank you, thank you.
The elevator shutters to a halt, and the doors slide open, revealing a grinning General Vool, and 10 Kronkett in military armor aiming machine guns directly at the crew.
Smirnophice here with your Commonwealth Catch of the Day. Rumors have come in from our tip lines, from our iTunes reviewers and Patreon supporters. You know us as the place where you can hear news from the coolest inhabitants of sub-zero planets all over the galaxy. Today we've received reports that New Russia has launched their maiden voyage into the intergalactic experiment of pseudo-consensual reality television show. The single man aboard the ship, Lee Shackelford, has had implants to simulate conversations and plot developments of his very own personal murder mystery party extravaganza. But, as per the waivers Lee signed before going off on his 10-year horror voyage, his memory has been altered so he thinks he is in the midst of a real crew massacre. As he said in his pre-induction interview, while it might seem like he's having a horrible time, his emotional experience is relative. We'll certainly be checking back once a week on the Relativity podcast found on any podcasting platform near you. Bon voyage, Lee! That's all we have time for today, but remember the Commonwealth Active Directive. If you meet a new form of life on your travels, asking for a selfie is not an adequate protocol for first contact. See you next time on Commonwealth Catch of the Day. Everyone, I'm normal accent scriptwriter and producer Katie now. I know you probably want to get back to the show, but I just wanted to thank you all for listening to our podcast. We've received such lovely support and it really means a lot. I wanted to take a moment to remind you that as an indie podcast, we rely on reviews, word of mouth, and the monetary support of our listeners to continue producing the content you love. While Tendril is ultimately a passion project, it does take many hands to produce each episode. Right now, all of the voice work you hear is done for free. Our incredible voice cast does this as a favor for us, out of the kindness of their hearts. And I've done the math, and it seems as though right now we have about 250 listeners who keep up to date with our podcast. If each of you lovely souls gave us $1 a month, we'd have enough to pay each of our voice actors a generous stipend regularly in exchange for the work they do. I'm not saying by any means that you're required to help us out, and Tendril will always be a free product to listen to, but if you enjoy the show, please consider joining our patron community at patreon.com/tendrilpodcast. Now back to General Vool doing something gross, probably. Enjoy!
General Vool lurches forward on his slug-like tail, coming so close to the Banshee crew that they can detect the faint aroma of reptile tank lingering in the air around him.
Now, I might have bought your little scheme, but you got one thing glaringly wrong. The PPP lawyer's name is Vex Longarmo.
That's what I said! Isn't that what I said?
No.
What? I'm curious as to why someone who is so knowledgeable of my appointments would want to see me so badly. They'd impersonate someone else. I'm sure we can talk this out like normal, mature people. So please, come in. Come in.
With the laser sights of the military guards still trained on them, the Banshee crew move into General Rule's office. It's cozy in here, what with all the extra bodies, and it is full of strips of corpses. The floor is piled with several layers of animal pelts, all patterns and colors. The walls are lined with a variety of stuffed busts of creatures, their glassy eyes watching the crew with something like dull contempt. Even Vool's desk is constructed of tiny bones, stacked and glued together, his desk chair a sculpture of antlers. If a necromancer walked into this room, she could have an entirely new zoo on her hands. The Banshee crew all take a seat on chairs constructed out of teeth, across the desk from the leering Cronkett General.
So, what brings you into my office today?
We come here to offer a complaint and a compliment.
All right.
We were riding the river boat ride earlier today when our vessel was intercepted by a giant staff-wielding warlock. We were attacked by whisper wasps.
And you survived?
Thanks to the incredible heroic bravery of our boat captain, Belluno.
Belluto.
We survived. It was incredible. He crafted a device made from...
Sorry to cut you off, but I think I'd rather hear it from this one.
Me?
Please.
That's all there is to tell. Baluto's astonishing bravery saved us all.
General Vool leans back and rubs his many chins in contemplation.
Well, we'll need to have Baluto terminated.
What?
You mean just firing him, right?
Now, let's get down to matters of much more interest to me. Where is this fine specimen from?
I'm not following.
What species of alien are you?
Boy, flirt much?
I'm not any named species. I don't see how this is relevant.
So you're one of a kind, then.
Switch stands up. Every laser sight in the room flicks to her.
I'm going to have to demand that you cease this line of questioning right now.
General Vool's froggish face stretches into a wide, toothy smile.
Who are you? The police?
Actually, we're...
Cade, no.
To me, it appears that I have a unique specimen on my hands. Something that will catch the zoo even more profit if I were to have it in my possession.
You can't do that. He's a sentient being. That's very explicitly illegal.
And who's going to stop me? I've got an entire exhibit of the McLamartians. Sure, the radical activists claim they're sentient, but the second you take those clamps off their jaws, all they do is chirp, chirp, chirp. Really, so annoying. If we turn off our translators, I wonder, what does your language sound like?
Switch unholsters her gun. Cronus stands up, maneuvering so he is back to back with her, removing his chain sickle from beneath his shirt. The military men move in closer so they are point-blank range with the veteran tendril operatives.
Cade, what are you doing?
I'm surrendering, and you should too. Are you crazy? You're going to get yourself killed.
I won't let them take Cronus.
Think about this rationally. You're a robot.
Android.
For God's sake, if we're taken in, at least we can resist. Escape. At least we'll be alive.
Switch and Cronus glance at each other. Cronus nods, and, reluctantly, they both drop their weapons.
Good, good. This kid has a head on his neck.
At least I have a neck.
Unfortunately, there will be no escape. Guards, take them to the most high-security habitats we have.
The military guards move in close before cuffing each of them in succession, roughing them up noticeably.
I hope we don't regret this, Cade.
Don't plan on it.
Wait!
The procession stops. General Vool gestures for the guards holding Cronus to come back. They yank him violently back toward the desk. The Cronkett General grins.
I just thought I might take a sample. You know, for personal reasons. I don't think you'll miss it all that much.
From the scabbard at his waist, Vool unsheaths a machete and tests the sharpness of the blade on his fingers.
What are you doing?
As if they've done this 100 times before, The guards stretch out one of Cronus' tentacle arms on the desk. Now that he's close enough, Cronus can see in the grooves between the thousands of tiny bones constituting the furniture, dried blood remains.
Hey, stop!
No, no! Look at that! It's still wriggling! Delightful! I'll see you soon, new pets!
General Vool laughs on his throne of bones as his military Kronkop guards escort the Banshee crew to the treacherous depths below.
Tendril, The Banshee Chronicles is written by Caitlin Radel and Ryan Borses. Tendril is created by Caitlin Radel, Ryan Borses, Taylor Finneran, and Brian Finneran. The theme song is written by Brian Finneran, and all additional music is written by Ryan Borses. This episode featured Ryan Borses as the narrator, Hulu DeKennan, and General Vool. Caitlin Radel as Switch and Parade Watcher 2. Eric Mayo as Cade Fledgery and Baluto. Teron Middleton as Cronus Lochnew, Diane Mayo as Receptionist and Parade Watcher 1, and Monique Borses as Yorona and Vex Longarmo. Tendril is only possible through the enthusiastic support of our friends, family, and listeners. If you're interested in helping to make this podcast a reality, please visit patreon.com/tendrilpodcast and check out our range of rewards. For more information, as well as full transcripts of each episode, visit us at tendrilpodcast.com.